But you did end up working in LA and radio there, didn't you?
Yeah, but not doing morning drive at any
KWW
big,
or whatever.
KFWB. Yeah,
KFWB.
Yeah. Back in those days, I would have loved to have worked at KFWB. Or I don't know how well you remember LA radio or knew LA radio in those days, but it was KRLA and KFWB and KHJ, mm-hmm. Boss Radio, and all of that.
The name that I went by on KD Radio after you were there, Steve Brummel gave me a choice of three names, and one of which was the real Don Steele. This is 1968, and nobody in Casper, Wyoming knew who the real Don Steele was. So yeah. I became, for 3 years, the real Don Steele until I found out who he was.
Oh, I found out there was another.
That he was the number one disc jockey of the year at KHJ in 1969.
Boss Radio, Yeah. Well, I, to be perfectly honest with you, for a long time, about the same time, was the poor man's B. Mitchell Reed. I did everything I could to sound like him.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Well, I had never heard the real Don Steele until the 80s, because I never didn't have any time in L.A.
You know, in L.A. in those days, just people listening to the radio, there was a fierce brand loyalty, like between Ford and Chevy or Coke and Pepsi. You were either KFWB or you were KRLA, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I was KFWB.
So approximately when were you in L.A.?
Work there,
yeah.
Early to mid-70s.
So from there, then what, you head north to Alaska, so to speak?
Yeah. I ended up in Alaska, news director at the Alaska Radio Network. I'm still overlooking an orchid while searching for a rose, you know? I'm still not taking radio seriously. I'm spending my life in it, but I'm not really taking it seriously. I ended up subsequently, of course, in law enforcement, and that turned out to be kind of sort of what I was meant to do.
And you met your beautiful wife, Lana.
Yeah.
In Alaska.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, I did. You want to hear that story?
Yes.
I was, I decided to go to a movie. So I get in my car one night and I head off down the old Seward Highway to a movie. On the way, I pass the athletic club that I belong to, and I think, I'm gonna go to the athletic club. I'm gonna work out tonight. So I pull in into the athletic club parking lot. I'm in the athletic club parking lot, and I look around. There's too many cars, too many people. I say, it's too crowded tonight. I'm not gonna work out. I'm gonna go, to the movie theater. So I ended up at the movie theater, and I was in the popcorn line, and I just inadvertently turned around and looked behind me, and there was this incredible movie star quality, this blonde behind me. I mean, beautiful, no exaggeration. And she appeared to be alone. And I thought, wow, she can't be alone. This can't be true. But I didn't get up the nerve to, she was just too gorgeous. I thought, she can't be alone. And so I agonized over talking to her. But I didn't, to make a long story short, I didn't. We get to where we get our popcorn and pay for it, and her order gets confused with mine, and we end up smiling and laughing and straightening the money and the order out. Then she walks away and heads toward her theater that she's going to, and I still hadn't made my move. I still hadn't done anything. I'm cursing myself. What a coward. I thought, what a coward. But I followed, and I went into the theater, and going in the movie theater, bunk, coming out the other way, she's coming out. She bumped into me coming out as I'm going in the door. And at that point, I got my nerve up, and I said, are you by yourself? And she said, yeah. And I said, you want to sit with me? And she said, yeah. So that was it. That's how I met her.
And how long did it last?
You know, almost 30 years. Almost 30 years. If she were still alive, we would be celebrating our 32nd anniversary this year.
Well, first of all, my condolences.
Yeah, thank you.
There's
no such thing as closure, I can tell you.
Yeah, I know. So you and Lana head off to Washington State.
She was raised in Alaska. She was born and raised there. Her father was career FAA. So wherever there was an FAA station, wherever there was a landing strip, she's lived in Alaska. And she was sick of it. When I got an offer one day from a guy that I had worked before, a guy that was just like you, and was just like me. He was the weekend kid when I worked there, and he worked at the station as the weekend kid. I was something of his idol. He looked up to me, wanted to be like me on the air. And then I came home from work one day, the Alaska Radio Network. Lena says, hey, somebody named Randy Boroff called. And I said, really? Why? What did he want? She said, I'm not sure, but I think he wants to offer you a job. This is in a little town called Ephrata, Washington, middle of the state, Grant County. I said, well, I'll call him and talk to him, but I'm not going to take a job down there. And she said, well, don't turn him down. She said, think about it. Think about it. She was sick of Alaska. She had heard me talk about how nice and sunny it was down there. And in Alaska, you get a certain feeling of claustrophobia because there's no roads to take you anywhere. You can drive to Fairbanks. You can drive to Kenai, and that's about it.
A lot of trees.
Yeah.
A lot of miles.
She was sick of it. Break up every spring, and that's a pain. So she said, think about it. Don't turn them down. So again, to make another long story short, I ended up, he offered me a job, wanted me to come down and be a PD at this new station he had just bought. He was a kid who had ended up and made a lot of money in insurance, bought the radio station that he used to work for when he was the weekend kid, and wanted me to come be his program director. So I said, okay, largely because Lena wanted to go. So we ended up down there, and a new chapter began. I had a good time working for him, but after a couple of years, new owners came in. And you know that's always bad news, no matter what they say about how we love the station or we wouldn't have bought it. We love all of you. Nothing is going to change.
Everything changed.
Yeah, it's always a lie. And all overnight, I hated the place. Well, a good friend of mine was by then I was a reserve deputy with the Grant County Sheriff's Office. I'd been working the road as a reserve for a couple of years. I was grumbling one day with the sheriff over coffee about the new order of things at the radio station. And he said, well, the hell with them. Come work for me. Come work for me. Be a cop full time. So I did. And that began, when I say new chapter, I'm not kidding. Yeah. That's when I became a cop. It was a late innings career for me. And I loved it. It turned out to be something I was extremely good at and well suited for. And it was a real uncommon blessing at that point in life to make that that unusual leap from broadcasting to law enforcement.
I mean, well, and it's still a matter of communication and talking to people and talking them down or talking them up or whatever the case may be.
Yeah, and that ability held me in good. That helped me a lot out on the road. But there's still this great reservoir of mistrust, if not hostility, between those two worlds. Cops don't trust the media.
No, that's true.
And the media don't like law enforcement much. Mm-hmm. And so to go from one to the other is not at all common. Not at all common.
And Lena went into real estate, and then you ended up going in with her as well for a while?
Well, after I retired from the sheriff's office, I got a license. I got a real estate license. Not having any real interest in real estate or ever wanting to sell it, but there were certain things I could do with a license to help her that I couldn't do without one. Like I could show houses for her and things like
be
that.
Be her assistant.
Yeah. It took a lot of weight off her, me having a license. And so I did that, but I would never call myself a real estate person. You know.
Is that kind of like a used car dealer? Then?
Exactly. That old mistrust between the air staff and the sales staff, man. No, I never considered myself a salesperson. I just got a license to help her. I put up signs for her, and I took down signs, and I showed houses from time to time.
And were you still a deputy at the time, too, or had you?
No, I was retired at that point.